You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today is June 5th, believe it or not, 2025. And I have a paper here in front of me. It took quite a while to put together. And the title is A Rabbi and His Caterpillar, D9R. Deliberate Starvation of Gazans, the ISIS Fraud, and a Change of Tactics for the IDF. My paper, of course. Caterpillar 9DR. We'll explain here in a little bit. Israeli officials now are making the ludicrous claim that Hamas has been looting aid heading for Gaza. This might be the most blatant and obvious form of projection in psychological history. See, when the regime claims a government or a group that it doesn't like is doing something terrible, you could be rest assured that the regime is doing precisely that. Now, I predicted this a while ago, but now we have reports and eyewitness accounts indicating that Israel is backing ISIS militants who are being armed to replace Hamas security forces protecting aid shipments. They are looting humanitarian aid under the watchful eye of IDF drones, hence the accusation, the projection, I should say. New evidence has emerged of ISIS militants in Gaza. They're operating within the Israeli-controlled buffer zone, controlling roads upon which aid is transported. This is the Sheikh Omar Hadid Brigade, created by the West, of course, really created by Mossad, precisely to operate in Gaza. We have photographs of them brandishing automatic weapons, wearing Israeli military tactical vests, and bearing Palestinian flag patches on their helmets, which more than anything else symbolizes what ISIS really is. Now, idiot journalists would say that these are Palestinian security officers. But in fact, they are members of an infamous network. Can you imagine looting aid for starving people for the purpose of both profit and genocide? Just a few weeks ago, May 21st of 2025, 15 World Food Program trucks carrying flour were looted, and UN sources said that the perpetrators belonged to quote-unquote armed factions. They claimed to be a legitimate opposition group poised to replace Hamas. Opposition, right in the midst of genocide. Now remember, since 2006, and certainly since the war began, Israel had imposed a total blockade on food, medical supplies, water, and fuel entering the territory. The Israelis have allowed a small number of trucks to come in. These militants were spotted, sporting brand new military gear, intercepting these supplies. It couldn't happen without support from the IDF, because the entire strip is under satellite and drone surveillance. Now, who are they? Yasser Abu Shabab, very evil man, the leader of an Israeli-allied militia connected with ISIS. He's well known in the area for his opposition to Hamas after he was arrested for smuggling narcotics. It sounds about right for a CIA or Mossad operative. When Israeli precision bombing deliberately destroyed the prisons run by Hamas during the early days of the war, this infamous man escaped. He quickly began building a guerrilla force. Though you can't do that without money. You can't do that fresh out of prison. Initially, it was about 100 men, many of whom were also imprisoned. The IDF is the only institution that could possibly have forwarded this money to him. There's a UN memo. When I published this paper, I have all the hot links here. It was published in the Financial Times, November of last year, that Abu Shabaab's men were operating inside Israel's buffer zone, so quote-unquote, looting aid shipments with the active benevolence of Israeli forces. Israel has to be involved because this is precisely the area where the IDF has shot and killed civilians attempting to enter that same zone. They're operating within it. Hence, they have to be working with the IDF. The only innocent party of this is Hamas. Their security forces, they're a full spectrum government. They have police that help coordinate aid deliveries through the Rafah crossing, that small area connecting Gaza to Egypt. Now it remains the only crossing point that the IDF allows to function, so it's the only way for anything to enter into the country. Israel then said that they'll shoot Hamas security if they were found in the area, so they backed away. But once Rafah was invaded, and the police were pulled back, Israeli forces work with their Islamic gangs and ISIS to steal and sell these goods. So you have a massive increase in prices and the creation of a Soviet-style artificial famine. Isn't this extraordinary? Now, we have a few anonymous sources. Now, you can't blame anyone for being anonymous here. There's a few anonymous Israeli sources as well. We'll talk about that in a minute. Confirming that aid entering the area, if it is to pass through at all, has to either bribe its way through, but usually it's just stolen. These ISIS units from that brigade, fresh from Hamas's prisons, are coordinating with the IDF, since of course they couldn't function otherwise. These frauds now call themselves the Anti-Terror Service, claiming to be in opposition to Hamas. I mean, there has to be a psychological study here on this at some point. Abu Shabaab somehow, of course, had privileged access to the Washington Post. And November of last year, he told them that Hamas has left us with nothing. Just like he was an ordinary Gaza citizen. According to him, Israel had nothing to do with the starvation of the Strip. He claimed that the looting was done by unarmed individuals. And that they avoided stealing food intended for children. Although, that's an odd statement to make. It sounds like he's defending himself. How would he know? And how could you tell what boxes are heading where? And yet truck drivers on the ground are saying that it's his men, the ones who are committing robbery. There's another one. There's another one heading straight to hell. Another Israeli client. His name is Shadi Yusufi. Convicted murderer and drug trafficker. Sentenced to death by Hamas. But Israel set him free when the war broke out. Again, the same way. He assassinated a senior commander in the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine at Israel's behest in 2020. He later worked through his ISIS contacts to escape to Sinai, and his whole operation was coordinated by the Israelis. So here's what Haaretz said. Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, generally been anti-IDF, but this is what they say. The IDF is aware of the problem. They said at one point the government had even considered making the clans, these groups, to which the armed men belong, responsible for distributing aid to Gaza's residents. Even though some of the clan members are involved in terrorism and some are affiliated with groups like the Islamic State. Well, these aren't tribal clans. This is, however, a change in Israeli tactics. What's happening now, the Israeli strategy is to mobilize these groups as a replacement security force, to replace Hamas, and eventually to operate as a guerrilla army against Hamas. It's also an admission of IDF defeat, because this is what's happening when your losses are too great and your reserves are depleted. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. I want to say that the numbers of those killed, especially official casualty numbers, are laughable. The Americans are awful that way. The Israelis are awful that way. We'll get to that in a minute. There is a source affiliated with the IDF in Gaza. Said that there was something similar attempted in northern Gaza, but Hamas, working with actual citizens, local citizens, dismantled their networks that began forming under Israeli supervision. So every major humanitarian organization involved in Gaza, including the UN, has blamed Israel and their clients, never Hamas, for any kind of looting or theft. No one has ever reported any credible instance of Hamas stealing aid. They are themselves an aid organization. They gain nothing by taking it. Those people who control Joe Biden even asked the IDF in February of 2024 to stop targeting Hamas security forces, police, I mean, because they were helping to coordinate the delivery of humanitarian trucks into Gaza. Netanyahu stated this, and he said it with a straight face. Hamas is ISIS. A statement so stupid that it really could only be directed at an American audience. Israel has always actively empowered these Salafist factions to undermine Hamas. They did it in Syria, they're doing it in elsewhere, they're doing it in Gaza. Since Israel has been defeated on the battlefield on the Strip. As I predicted, ISIS declared war on Hamas and Hezbollah as soon as the war started, and even years before that, making it very obvious for whom they were working. In fact, in 2015, that's when ISIS was brought into Gaza through the blockade. That's the Sheikh Omar Hadid Brigade. ISIS had executed a Hamas commander, Abu Taya, at Israel's behest in Syria. Hamas then hunted down and killed the group's leader, Yunus Hunar. So in 2018, ISIS officially declared war on Hamas, urging its followers to carry out attacks to support Israeli policy. There was no way that the Sheikh Omar Hadid Brigade could have ever entered the Strip without Israeli assistance, since in 2015, Gaza was under a strict blockade. Hamas was voted into power and took full control of Gaza 2006-2007. It has constantly been fighting these make-believe jihadists inside the Strip. They always have weapons and ammunition that gets through the strictest of Israeli blockades without a problem. In fact, in 2009, Hamas crushed an Al-Qaeda uprising that left over 20 people dead. They would engage in bombing from time to time, always in Israel's interest. In 2015, Hamas arrested over 50 of their militants after a wave of bombings targeted civilians in Gaza. Now, under the guise of aid security, Israel is arming ISIS and Al-Qaeda, as they've always done, along with drug traffickers, to fight Hamas. The West claims that they're in opposition to Hamas, but in practice, they're stealing food from the starving and making war on Israel's enemies, as always, under the watchful eye of Israeli drones. There's a group in particular who, again, is going to burn in hell unless they repent. The American Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, a group based in Delaware. It claims that it distributes essential aid in the Gaza Strip through the organization's delivery arm, Safe Reach Solutions, or SRS. It's a front. SRS is not an aid organization and has no experience in it. Neither does the GHF. In fact, the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation was only founded in February of this year. SRS is private military intelligence. In fact, the Israeli Ynet News describes its functions as, quote, operating roadblocks, processing visual data from cameras, drones, and satellites, and using it to identify Hamas operatives and armed individuals. This is what the Americans and Israelis call humanitarian aid. And it's interesting, the group has no website. They are keeping all other aid agencies out. They've built four sites of distribution, you know, for 2 million people. In a few places, the Tel Shelton area of Rafah, the Netzarim corridor of Gaza City. But these sites are only for military purposes. The claim is that they want to keep aid out of the hands of Hamas, but Hamas is the one group that has not stolen food from the starving. 4 points, of course, does nothing for 2 million people. Israel has made sure that no experienced aid agencies, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, would be involved, and many others were not allowed in. It was May 27th, it's not that long ago. Thousands of starving Palestinians came to one of these distribution centers in Rafah. The regime's media claims the crowd rushed the center, which of course means that the Israeli army had to start shooting, because that's what you do. Those working for the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation retreated, although they claim to have distributed 8,000 boxes of food. I don't know how. But after all was done, the Israeli troops opened fire on an unarmed group, killing 10 at least and leaving 62 wounded. Well, why did they rush the center? Well, because they were kept starving and without water under humiliating security conditions behind barbed wire. These four areas chosen for distribution are murder zones. Of course, they're dismissed by Netanyahu and ignored by the U.S. In fact, the IDF initially denied ever firing at this group of Arabs. They said it's just warning shots. At one point, the UN had 400 distribution centers in Gaza over the years. They were kept out. GHF, this American Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, very suspicious. They're claiming people on their board who don't know they're on their board. Scumbag named Nate Mook, CEO of World Kitchen. He's just a warmongering neocon at the McCain Institute. And he came out and said, I have nothing to do with these people. But he still is on their board, according to them. They made it up to appear legitimate. Of course, Mook fully supports the IDF. He claims to be a filmmaker and humanitarian aid specialist, but he's just a pawn of the military-industrial complex, to be very charitable about it. They're padding their board to make it sound like a normal NGO. Of course, it wasn't a one-time thing. These killings now have reached 600, proving that they're not aid distribution zones. They're meant to kill people. The Euromed Monitor field team documented the IDF opening fire on thousands of civilians gathered on June 3rd, very recently, near an aid center in Tel al-Sultan in Rafah, with another 27 killed and 90 injured. Because there's no hospital, no hospitals functioning, no medical care is available, the 90 injured may very well die. Now, the Euromed Monitor says that the Israeli army snipers deliberately targeted starving civilians with direct gunfire, mostly to the head, despite no threat to Israeli forces. In his testimony to the same group, a survivor who wisely requested anonymity said, at about 3:50 a.m. today, that's the 3rd of June, an Israeli quadcopter flew over and photographed the civilian crowd. Then the army opened fire from a crane in the area. I personally carried three people who had been shot in the head. Most of the injuries were to the head. People came looking for food to ease their hunger, but they went back either dead or wounded. The quadcopter seems to be the IDF weapon of choice in these days. They're increasing their slaughter of civilians by using these drones. They're cheap. They're easy to fly. The quadcopters are, you know, they're being used for shooting operations throughout the war. But let's face it, they can do it with impunity because they are Jews, and Jews are the most powerful group on the planet. Israeli forces deliberately targeted and murdered Sila Oded, 52. She was trying to escape from the Jabila refugee camp, raising a white flag. Again, from a quadcopter. That was on May 21st. The Israeli army, along with the GHF, directs Palestinians to collect aid at designated sites, instructing them to wait through inspection, what are called humiliation gates. Once there, they're subjected to direct fire from snipers. It's like an episode of Squid Game. Incidents on the ground demonstrate that Israeli forces have deliberately positioned aid distribution centers in dangerous places to justify the killing of civilians. Now, the former head of GHF, a guy named Jake Wood, resigned over it. He said the foundation has failed miserably. He said the humanitarian principles of humanity, neutrality, impartiality, and independence have no place at this GHF. So he resigned. Well, I guess he's no Nate Mook. Now, while the group doesn't have a website, which is very suspicious, There is a PDF floating around that claims to be summarizing their goals, and let me read from it. To ensure the integrity and safety of aid delivery, GHF's logistics subcontractors will utilize armored vehicles to transport supplies to and from SDS locations. On-site and perimeter security will be provided by experienced professionals, including personnel who previously secured the Netzarim corridor during the recent ceasefire. Their mandate is to deter interference from criminal networks or other armed groups who have historically sought to control or redirect humanitarian aid. Importantly, the IDF will not be stationed at or near SDS locations, maintaining a neutral and civilian-facing nature of the operations. That entire paragraph is a lie. First of all, even mentioning the Netzarim corridor, that in fact was a killing zone. Many civilians were murdered there. Somehow it's a point of pride for them to say that those same people, who by the way were IDF, are going to be in charge of security here. The UN never needed armored vehicles to distribute aid in the decade it's been doing this. The IDF was certainly stationed there. And SRS, as I've already mentioned, is part of the American military industrial complex, although in the private sector. Now, this PDF was published by the Israeli Ynet news service. And it actually says this. I'm not sure who the target audience is here, but here's what they say. GHF maintains secure banking and financial relationships with the Truist Bank, which, by the way, is a result of many acquisitions of failing U.S. banks, and J.P. Morgan Chase, two of the most respected financial institutions in the world. Respected by whom? The board of directors is loaded with American military men and security bureaucrats. They might not even be aware that they're on here. But it's very much like Squid Game. I wonder where else this aid model is going to be used. It is certainly an experiment. And maybe it may become the norm once the media are instructed not to criticize it. Because it was the Washington Post help expose the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. They say it was created by a group of former U.S. intelligence and defense officials and business executives working in close consultation with Israel. Here's what the Washington Post said. You got to give them credit for this. They suck 99% of the time. But here's what they said. The GHF will hire armed private contractors to provide logistics and security for a handful of aid distribution hubs to be built in southern Gaza. Under the arrangement, which will replace existing aid distribution networks coordinated by the UN, Palestinian civilians will have to travel to the hubs and submit to identity checks to receive rations from this group. The Post reported that the internal planning documents of this group, the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, they compared it to, they're going to run concentration camps with biometrics run by Blackwater, if you remember them. Gaza's entire remaining population is starving after Israel blocked nearly all food, fuel, and electricity from entering the enclave since March and even since 2006. I think today the Post knows better than to criticize the IDF, since the Israelis have killed, I think as of now, over 220 journalists. But they should be given credit for this. On May 16th, so a few weeks ago, 2025, now that Gaza is weaker than ever, Israel tried again to take the area. Israel has been defeated on the battlefield. They failed. This is why the change in tactics. What's left of the Palestinian population? 1.8 million, 1.7 million? The plan is they'll be forced into an area of 35 square miles. 2 million people, 35 square miles. That will be a concentration camp in and of itself. Typhus and polio are making a comeback in these areas. This is the implementation of a plan, very badly misnamed Operation Gideon's Chariots. As if this policy could be any further away from the actual Gideon from the Bible. This operation destroyed the last functional hospital on the strip, increasing its kill count. The IDF also attacked the medical supplies warehouse at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, south central Gaza, and destroyed the medical supplies there that were provided by medical aid for Palestinians. Yet, three times, the IDF tried to take the city of Khan Yunis. They were defeated. It takes out its rage, therefore, on civilians. Hamas used rocket-propelled grenades, booby traps, sniper fire, anti-tank weapons, and they inflicted tremendous casualties on the Israelis. Israel also failed to take Beit Hanun to the north, a few other cities nearby, after repeated attempts. The battles of Jabalia, also a northern city. There were also IDF defeats. Israel was pushed out of the city in January of 24. In fact, the entire siege of North Gaza was a failure. And that's what led to the ceasefire plan, not too long afterwards. So some of the slaughter of civilians is for genocide, but some of it is for impotent rage. Hamas defeated the IDF in urban warfare. So this belief that they're going to take 75% of Gaza is wishful thinking. Now, they say that they control 44% of the strip. They want to expand that to 75% within 2 months, which is unlikely. And that's where they announced these four humanitarian zones with the help of SRS, these concentration camps located along the southern coast, Gaza City in the north, and etc. Four zones for 2 million people. So the IDF came out, and they're not, you know, I don't have to read through the lines here, between the lines here, that they're coming out and saying it. This operational focus will shift from targeting individual Hamas fighters, actually fighting Hamas, to taking territory and destroying the Palestinian population, which is probably the most public admission of Israel's genocidal intent since this war started, not to mention an admission of defeat. The Euromed Human Rights Monitor, I've quoted them before, this is what they have to say about this. Israeli forces have issued at least 35 evacuation orders on the Strip since January of 2025. That affects over 1 million people. These orders compound the harm caused by those issued prior to January that had already resulted in much of the population being displaced. Israel is now intensifying efforts to confine residents to a narrow area along the southern coast, an apparent prelude to expulsion from the Strip, in line with the Trump plan recently adopted by Netanyahu as a condition for ending military operations in the enclave. Each of these orders has been issued without any military necessity or even with a pretext, like rocket fire or something. This indicates that Israel no longer seeks to justify its actions to anyone, and that displacement itself has become an open objective, and that is part of a deliberate policy of systematic uprooting that constitutes fully-fledged genocide. So the goal, clearly, is the mass killing and expulsion of the remaining Palestinians. But, given Israeli manpower problems and their utter inability to defeat Hamas or Hezbollah, this is unlikely. Israeli genocide has included the destruction of entire towns, the deliberate collapse of civilian infrastructure, and systematic internal displacement aimed at erasing and destroying the Palestinian nation. But that's been the core of Zionism since its inception. Now, the Euromed essays are very good ones, but they speak of Israeli war crimes occurring with impunity. But they can't take that next step. Why does Israel, and only Israel, have this impunity? Speaking the obvious truth that, quote, you sit them down and say, Jews have an extraordinary amount of power in Europe's capitals and financial centers. That's why they act with impunity. Now, in the EU, they'll go to prison for this. But they can't take the next step. It's like a melody without any resolution. And that's where the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation got involved. There isn't a single humanitarian aid group that hasn't condemned the GHF. And that's what the U.S. is trying to do to replace everybody, the humanitarian network. It's starvation rations to only certain Arabs using facial recognition technology. In other words, aid will be given only to politically reliable Arabs, and the rest will starve. I think that's the basis for the recent shootings. I don't think it was random. But since the bulk of the population voted for Hamas, the number of worthy Arabs may be quite small, which is fine by them, I guess. The total occupation of Gaza and the transfer of the population to concentration camps and the monopolization of aid distributed by U.S. military intelligence, this is the most blatant form of genocide ever. Netanyahu is a very irrational individual. He pompously declared at a press conference, he said, I'm ready to end the war. under the clear conditions that we carry out the Trump plan, a plan that is so correct and so revolutionary. Well, the Trump plan is to remove the entire Arab population from Gaza and build Jews-only luxury beachfront and condos and casinos for the super rich. Well, by definition, the war would be over then, because there'd be no enemies. There'd be no Palestinians at all. So what's the U.S. doing? They're in negotiations with the terror militias that control at least parts of Syria and Libya. The very prosperous, legitimate governments, of course, the U.S. helped overthrow. And somehow they're going to take in these 2 million Palestinians exiled from Gaza. They can't feed their own people, let alone a massive influx of starving exiles. But in May of this year, I think it was a couple weeks ago, the lunatic finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, said, within a year, Gaza will be completely destroyed. Civilians will be pushed into humanitarian zone in the south, and from there they'll be leaving en masse for third countries. So they'll starve there, while New York Jews will have new vacation homes. However, again, I want to say that Israel's poor war record so far suggests that won't happen. Instead, the deadly massacres of civilians are the new tactical change. Journalists, doctors, humanitarian workers. Hamas is not the target anymore. They've defeated the IDF. A precision Israeli airstrike just a few days ago, but I shouldn't say a couple weeks ago, killed 7 children at a pediatric center at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. That was the last functioning one. Israeli airstrikes on May 27th killed 30 Palestinians across the Gaza Strip. Since October of 2023, the number of specific Arab journalists murdered is 220. The Red Cross said that 2 of its staff members, Abraham Aid and Abu Hilal, have been killed in the Israel attack on one of the 3 attacks on Khan Yunis. Now let's be clear here. The official number of dead Palestinians killed by the IDF is 53,900 since October 7th, 2023. That's a lie. It's propaganda. The true number of dead is something like 250,000 or more. It doesn't include, you know, starving, dying from wounds, buried under rubble, not being able to receive medical care, dying of thirst, whatever. 53,000 figure is propaganda. The Lancet Medical Journal from Harvard said last year, November of last year, then that the true number was 186,000. I think that's low. So if you extend that to today, 250,000 is reasonable. And 85% of these deaths are non-combatants. The 53,000 figure only deals with identified persons brought to a hospital and have death certificates as a result of Israeli attacks, and are known deaths from Israeli attacks. Well, hospitals haven't existed for a while in most of Gaza. Most of the dead are not registered at a morgue, since none exist. Yet this figure is repeated over and over again, so, you know, it must be true. The 53,000 figure is an insult. Gaza has been under constant and intense bombing, missile and drone attacks, street fighting, attacks on civilian centers, poison gas attacks, the destruction of all infrastructure, including clean water, since October of 2023, with no working hospitals or sanitation. Because Gaza is so densely packed, that figure of 53,000 is absurd. Yeah, most of the dead don't have death certificates. Israeli casualties, too, are, to say the least, underestimated. They claim the absurd figure of 872 KIA, which is an absolute joke. Well, they're a joke. Israel, as you know, rules by deception. They pretended, and I only came to know this very recently, Trump and Netanyahu pretended to have a disagreement. It was shown by Trump's unwillingness to visit Israel on his recent Middle East trip. The media, looking for a story, wanted to attribute this rift or break and made up the story that Trump's perception was that he was being manipulated by the Israelis, which is true, but it's not one that he accepts. Well, these reports of these rifts were designed by the Jewish real estate developer and billionaire Steve Witkoff. to create a false impression designed to benefit Israel. Steve Witkoff is an absolute piece of garbage. The man who's going to help, along with BlackRock, develop Gaza after everyone's been killed and removed, is him, to create this new Las Vegas. The point being, this lie, this story of a disagreement, existed just at the time when Netanyahu or the U.S. could gain agreements with the Gulf monarchies. It gave them just enough credibility to get them to sign on to certain things. This disagreement is an obvious lie. There's been no change in policy. And Netanyahu personally confirmed that there was no schism between the two sides. He even said it at a press conference. He said at a press conference that despite the series of media reports that I've said that there's a problem between the two leaders, he said, "Let me give you some details that perhaps you haven't been made public," Netanyahu said. "A few days ago, 10 days ago, I spoke on the phone with Donald Trump, and he said to me literally, 'Bibi, I want you to know I have absolute commitment to you. I have absolute commitment to the state of Israel.'" So obviously this whole thing was made up. Netanyahu also spoke with Vance and Pete Hegseth, who's so out of his depth. And here's what he said to them. Well, I mean, actually, this is Netanyahu speaking. And he said, "Vance said to me, 'Listen, don't pay attention to all these fake news spins about the rupture between us. It's all spin. It isn't the truth. You know it's not true. And I'm telling you, from our side, it's not true. It's just a means of deceiving the American media, who are very, very easy to deceive.' All of a sudden, though, the Israelis are now including the creation of the Trump-Gaza plan as one of its conditions of peace. It's kind of redundant, as I've said before. They'll end the war when all the Palestinians are gone. Well, I guess there couldn't be a war when the Palestinians are gone. In other words, the protests, the disagreements, the symbolic condemnations are fake. It wasn't that long ago. You had 29 EU diplomats, UK, France, even from Canada. They pretended to protest Israeli policy. They even said, and I read the press release, "Israel has to change its behavior or face both sanctions and a suspension in the EU-Israel trade agreements." They said that Israel's announcement of letting a trickle of aid in was wholly inadequate. And if Israel does not cease the renewed military offensive and lift its restrictions on humanitarian aid, we will take further concrete actions in response. They know, as they're uttering this, that it's a lie. Netanyahu pretended to be outraged, because of course he's in on it. He said, "You're on the wrong side of humanity and the wrong side of history. Israel's committing some of the worst war crimes humanity has ever witnessed, in the open, in front of cameras, and they remain subsidized by the West. But to say that this is an example of Jewish power is illegal." This diplomatic gesture is nothing but symbolic. It's not to be taken seriously. Keir Starmer, a piece of garbage. UK Prime Minister, he's dealing with the fact that the population has turned on Israel. Suddenly he wants to take action against them. So then the Israelis that are in on the charade pretend to be outraged. And I know this because there's a senior Israeli official in Haaretz, the newspaper, said all of this stuff is planned out. It gives the impression that Europe isn't totally under Jewish control. And this official said, "In the past 24 hours, we're all part of a planned ambush we knew about. So it's a coordinated sequence of moves ahead of the EU meeting in Brussels. And thanks to joint efforts by our ambassadors and the foreign minister, we managed to moderate the outcome." In other words, all of these words from the EU are hypocritical. And actually, I'm using that word in the very rare true sense. They believe none of it, and the Jews are in on it. So these condemnations are hypocritical in the true sense of the word. They don't believe what they're saying. They're saying it to sound like they're doing something, like there's an actual disagreement, like there's some control that they would have over Israel, and Israel's not totally in control of the situation. Netanyahu said, quote, "Our best friends worldwide, the most pro-Israel senators in the U.S., They tell us they're providing all the aid, weapons, support, and protection in the UN Security Council, but they can't support images of mass hunger. Now, that means two things. First, of course, the regime is well aware of the mass slaughter of babies and has no problem with it. And second, that those images can't be shown too often, because if they are, there has to be a fake condemnation from these kept politicians reported by the moron media. No sanctions on Israel have ever been considered by any Western government at any time. Just recently, the Jewish congressman from Randy Fine from Florida called on for the use of nuclear weapons to destroy Gaza. Just like, quote, Japan at the end of World War II. Of course, nothing's going to come out of that either. But showing just how seriously Israel takes these fake condemnations, the IDF fired on 31 European diplomats on May 21st, 2025. They were visiting the West Bank settlement in Jenin. None were hurt, but they shot at them. 31 European diplomats. They were just showing who's boss. But I have to say, things are bad for Palestine, but they're awful for the IDF. They haven't won a damn thing. The IDF claims, this was like in April, the IDF announced that they took control of Rafah. They created the so-called Morag Axis, a new military corridor. You know, on CNN, you have these men with white hair standing in front of virtual maps, pompously describing things as they have any knowledge whatsoever, spouting IDF press releases as if it came from years of scholarship. Truth is, though, over the course of this war, the IDF destroyed more than 90% of Gaza's residential neighborhoods. Now the army is flattening Rafah's remaining structures, turning the entire city into a buffer zone, whatever that means, and cutting off Gaza's only border crossing with Egypt. There's a Jewish soldier, the IDF. He only goes by the initial Y. I've quoted the magazine 972 before, the country code of Israel, I think it is. They're able to find these dissenting soldiers. Here's what he said concerning, he was at reserve duty in Rafah. He said this: I secured 4 or 5 bulldozers from another unit. They demolish 60 houses per day, a 1 or 2 story house. They take it down within an hour. A 3 or 4 story house takes a little bit longer. The official mission was to open a logistical route for maneuvering, but in practice, the bulldozers were simply destroying homes. The southeastern part of Rafah is totally destroyed. The horizon is flat. There is no city. And that testimony is consistent with 10 other soldiers who served at different times in the Gaza Strip and in South Lebanon, who spoke with 972. There's ample video evidence of this. There's satellite imagery of this. There's reports by international organizations and NGOs of this. Systematic destruction of residential buildings, that's an essential part of the IDF operations. And it's actually now Israel's main focus. The destruction in Gaza and even South Lebanon has not been carried out from the air or during combat, but rather by Israeli bulldozers and explosives. It's called non-operational destruction. It started really within the first months of the war. I was the first to mention this, at least in English. There's an Israeli journal called The Hottest Place in Hell, which is very, very anti-IDF. They reported that the army had carried out the systematic and complete destruction of all buildings near the fence within a kilometer into the strip without them being identified as terrorist infrastructure, neither by intelligence nor by soldiers on the ground or anyone else. Now, this is a Jews-only publication written in Hebrew, and I read it through a machine translation. I got the idea. And I read it. And they all correspond. They're all saying the same things. Places like Khan Yunis, Beit Laya, Beit Hanun, all these other places, between 75 and 100% of the buildings have been destroyed without any reason. It used to be in Gaza's peripheries. Now it's become the method deployed throughout the Gaza Strip, trying to make the strip absolutely unlivable. Since Israel violated the ceasefire in March, about 3,000 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza. Now, those have been the result of airstrikes. Deliberate destruction of the cities, that's the foundation of the Trump plan. You know, Netanyahu said at a meeting of the Foreign Affairs and Security Committee, the Knesset, he said, "We are destroying more and more homes. They have nowhere to return to. The only expected result will be a desire for Gazans to emigrate outside the Strip." The UN said last December, 70% of all buildings in the entire Strip, including 245,000 housing units, had been damaged, with 60,000 totally destroyed. By the end of February, that had risen to 70,000. Some of the buildings in Gaza, leveled by bulldozers or explosives, they had been previously damaged, and there is no military necessity to this, nor do they even claim military necessity here. Now, I said in the beginning, I mentioned the D9R. That's the Caterpillar armored bulldozer. That's why I mentioned that in the beginning. That's the instrument of terror that the Israelis are using. Caterpillar makes an armored bulldozer. The only reason they make it is for the Israelis. The D9 is just their big bulldozer. The D9R is the armored one. Sometimes they'll fill containers or defunct military vehicles with C4 and blow them up. But there's a Zionist fanatic who tweeted in February, a guy named Yunon Magal. He said, "In the end, the D9 shaped the face of the war. It is what made the Gazans return south after they came north to their homes during the ceasefire and they realized they had nowhere to return to." This wasn't a directive of the chief of staff or the general staff. This was a policy of the field, from division commanders, brigade commanders, battalion commanders, even the military engineering teams, who changed reality. The IDF is coming out and saying this without any problem. A former senior IDF official said this, "I received reports from officers in the field that actions were being taken unnecessarily from an operational perspective, demolishing homes, forcing tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of residents to leave, systematically destroying Beit Hanun, Beit Le'ia. They told me that D9 units were operating out of their control. I don't know what percentage was non-operational destruction, but it was a lot." So local commanders have broad discretion here. You know, destroying homes has been a big part of the occupation for decades. So junior level commanders are making these decisions. I guess it means Tel Aviv can distance itself from its destruction. We're just following orders. But multiple reservists, your conscripts, are extremely upset. The systematic and deliberate flattening of civilian infrastructure, they're doing it in parts of South Lebanon as well. Because preparations for the invasion of Lebanon included demolition training. The explicitly stated goal was to destroy Shiite villages. They were all defined as Hezbollah strongholds to prevent residents from returning. Terror is the goal of the IDF operation, not battlefield victory. I said this when I was talking about the Israeli invasion of Lebanon. It's not victory, it's terror. When the ceasefire took effect, late January of this year, thousands tried to return to Jabalia in northern Gaza, only to find the refugee camp, as they knew it, no longer existed. It was all rubble. And their accounts are consistent with the testimonies I've already mentioned. Soldiers, people who, from that one particular journal, who have privileged access to many reservists who have had enough. Avram Zarif, a D9 operator, the flattener of Jabalia, he uploaded his videos to social media. By the way, outside of the military, he's a rabbinical court judge, showing just how deep into the Jewish establishment this is. The Gavati Brigade established a specialized engineering unit for demolition of civilian homes early in the war. He even said, "You don't understand what it's like to bring down a building. 6, 7, 5 stories, one after another." As if this was some sexual thrill to him. But he's not in the minority. And yet, the Americans are told that the D9Rs are used to destroy Hamas tunnels, although I'm not sure what a bulldozer would have to do with that at all. But they'll believe anything. The point is, to destroy their homes so there's nowhere to go. And they're saying this, they're uploading it themselves to social media. the entire rabbinate of Israel responsible for this genocide. They're proud of their war crimes. Military suicides have increased substantially over the last year in the IDF. There's been a profound psychological strain. Again, their casualty rates are much higher than they're reporting. PTSD, conscripts, and reserve is multiplied. Israeli military is bleeding. They're not doing very well, which is why they're using these tactics. They have a manpower crisis. I've been saying this for years now. They open a second front in Lebanon and then a third front in the Golan Heights. How many IDF members are there? You have huge numbers of reservists refusing to re-up. 15% of reservists reporting for duty, according to the Israeli media, even though they were required to do so. And the bulldozer drivers are some of the worst, although I can't imagine the condition of their victims. At least some of them must have a conscience. The Israeli Ministry of Military Affairs, their rehabilitation department, received at least 12,000 soldiers since the launch of the war in October of 23 with severe mental illness. All of this comes at a cost. They simply don't have the men anymore. The one informant, 972, the guy only went by Y. He says the annihilation of Rafah. There were no encounters with Hamas. They were meant to kill paramedics. And the Israeli soldiers killed 15 paramedics in the Tel al-Sultan neighborhood. Like Y, other soldiers interviewed by 972 said there were no written orders for any of this. Usually there would be, but not now. Killing medical personnel has been a major directive from the beginning, especially when they started losing. They like the idea of not having a paper trail, but if they're uploading these things, and keep in mind none of this has anything to do with any military objective. This is simply genocide. It's being allowed to happen. I guess this is the oral command the IDF followed from the start. But it goes to show exactly what Israel is. They're not hiding this anymore. They're not even pretending there's some necessity for it. They're not even pretending that there's a good reason for it. Babies are being slaughtered. There are no hospitals. There are no medical professionals anymore. There's nothing. All aid has been kept out except for the American group from Delaware. And they're there to find out who they can shoot, using aid as a way to identify people who are their enemies. Israel is a disgusting country, and it's bleeding on the battlefield, and it deserves it. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.